Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Evan Caminiti has been making brooding electronic soundscapes for almost a decade, both as half of the band Barn Owl and as a soloist. And over the years, those wide-open vistas of sound have usually come from Evan's guitar, often so highly processed you couldn't tell it was a guitar. Well, on his new album Meridian, Evan Caminiti has switched to synthesizer. The album's full of dark, dense textures, the kind of thing you wouldn't expect one guy to be able to pull off live. Well, Evan Caminiti is here in our Soundcheck studio today to do just that. But it's not going to be our usual in-studio live performance. So before we get really going, listen to a bit of this track. It's called Overtaken. It's the opening cut on his new album, Meridian. This is music from Evan Caminiti. The piece is called Mercury. It's not Overtaken, as I said earlier. Mercury is the name of this track, but it is from the new album called Meridian. And Evan joins us here in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I've played some of your music on the air before, and, you know, it's kind of sounded like this, but it was all coming from guitar.
Yeah.
Now here you show up with a suitcase full of tiny little modules. What occasioned the switch?
Well, I think it came about years of touring with guitar, a lot of effects pedals, and reaching a point where I was processing the guitar so heavily, I was like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really even sound like a guitar half the time. And it made me kind of rethink my relationship to synthesizers. Having grown up playing in bands and garages and stuff, I was always really drawn to the tactile element of instruments. And I didn't really realize the potential with modular synthesizers, where you really are creating these sounds from scratch. It is very tactile. Having grown up in a time where, you know, there were just all of these cheap digital synths where you're programming all of these menus, and, like, I wasn't interested in that. And so
So this kind of synthesis is more like what you had in the 60s and 70s and 80s, where you actually have to patch from one thing to another. You have patch cords all over the place.
Definitely.
So what does that do for, our kind of expectations of electronic music? You spent the first part of your career upending our expectations of what an electric guitar could sound like. Now, when you show up with a suitcase full of electronics, people expect heavy four on the floor dance beat and, you know, you press a button and a sequence starts. You're not doing that either, are you?
No, and it took a while with playing the modular synthesizer to be able to make it talk the way I wanted it to, because it is easy with this kind of a thing to dial in four to the floor, get a melody going, and just kind of write it out. But it took years of kind of developing a relationship with the instrument to make it sound the way I wanted it to.
And what is that way that you wanted it to sound?
It's hard to articulate, but there's just a really specific kind of mood and atmosphere that, I don't know, I guess carries across from my previous work, where I like to talk about it as devotional
I saw that on your Bandcamp page. It says ambient, atmospheric, and devotional. So is this, how is this devotional? Is there something ritual, something processional, something spiritual about it?
I would say there's a ritualistic aspect of when I play live, it's usually for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour straight with no stopping. So there's not this element of talking between songs. It's you kind of go somewhere else for this set aside period of time. You kind of enter into this different headspace and maybe get some alpha waves going in the brain and just kind of have some different activity happening there. And for me, it's not, there's nothing overtly like religious about it per se. I think the devotional tag kind of just gets at this idea of feeling overwhelmed and this awe of something outside of yourself and just kind of entering a meditational kind of space where.
Yeah. Now, we heard a lot of this kind of talk around electronic music in the 80s at the height of the New Age movement.
Mm.
You know, this set of tones will activate this set of chakras and things like that. There's another end of the spectrum, the dark ambient stuff. Do you know Lustmord?
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, the stuff that's really kind of dark.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're kind of pulling from both of those.
Yeah, I mean, after living in San Francisco for 10 years, there's a bit of a New Age element, I suppose, like in a very subconscious way, maybe. I've never, like, gotten super deep into New Age music, and I grew up really with metal, so I think transitioning into dark ambient, getting into like Brian Eno's On Land, and then stuff like Lustmord, like his Stalker record is amazing.
And scary.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying.
So you may be devoting your time and your attention to this music, but you may not always be like floating on a sea of pretty music.
Definitely.
Yeah. So in the case of Meridian, the album title here, what does that refer to?
So it all kind of came together with a few really, really separate influences. Back on the kind of the New Age tip, when I was in San Francisco, I studied Chinese traditional medicine for a short period of time. And there's a concept of meridians in Chinese traditional medicine where there are these energy pathways through the body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's this whole sophisticated school of thought behind that. And I like the idea of kind of drawing a parallel between the way that this music played live courses through your bodies. It's a very physical experience. And it can be energizing. And and I thought there was a parallel there. And then around the time I was finishing up the record, I was getting into a lot of ASMR stuff, and the M in ASMR stands for meridian, and I just kind of...
What does the rest of it stand for?
Autonomic sensory meridian response, I think.
Okay.
It's kind of like this new emerging field where there's a lot of YouTube videos of people doing these things like tapping fingers on wood, and just these basically these spine tingling type sounds that some people find they're really just drawn to.
Yeah. So meridian is meant to be heard loud to get that energy coursing through the meridians of your body.
Preferably.
Is it meant to be scary? Because some of the album is kind of spooky in its texture.
That wasn't necessarily intentional. Like, I've had a few people reference, like, Terminator soundtrack or something like that.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far, but...
I'm like, oh, really? Like, I kind of feel like I failed if you, like... I mean, I like the original Terminator soundtrack, but that's not what I was going for.
No. Right.
There's nothing overtly sci-fi when I was making this music. I don't know. I think it's just a reflection of reality where it's like, you know, there's a lot of dark aspects to reality and just embracing that in a way.
Well, you know, one of the things I like about it is the way you play with rhythm, sometimes kind of hinting at a rhythm as opposed to, like, giving us the kind of thump, thump, thump that, you know, we've come to expect. So what are you about to do here? You say you don't do discrete songs. So is this like a remix? I mean, what is this?
In a way, it's similar to a remix because I'm using some of the field recordings that I use on Meridians, but they're being processed live. And then
field recordings of what?
Well, there's this one particular field recording that's a trellis, a metal trellis on a vineyard in California, kind of metal knocking on metal. So it's a seemingly industrial sound, but it was kind of recorded in a rural space.
Yeah, very pastoral setting for something that sounds very different.
Yeah, and I think part of what was interesting about that to me and that sound, particularly when I hear it, is that I was almost bit by a rattlesnake the day before I recorded that. Whereas descending a staircase at night at this same vineyard, and this rattlesnake was curled up, like, ready,
wow,
like, at the bottom of the stairways, and I was like, oh, that was kind of close.
Wow. So for you, these pieces begin with something that's like a real marker of a place and time in your life.
Definitely in that case. It was between moving from San Francisco to New York, so it's a very particular kind of mind frame.
So you start with some of that material, and then this is sort of improvising on top of it?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely similar patches to what I was working with on the record, but a bit different, just to keep things fresh,
right,
and open for improvisation.
Okay. So are you pulling from specific parts of the record here? Are we hearing Arc? Are we hearing Excelsior? You know, or is it just all bets are off?
Yeah, definitely a bit of both of those tracks in terms of the granular processing on Arc with fast rhythmic repetition, and Excelsior is the track with the metal trellis,
right,
sound.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll be kind of hearing a new take on that.
Okay. You want to play it for us?
Let's do it.
All right. We're speaking with Evan Caminiti, the erstwhile electric guitarist who has moved to modular synthesizer for his new album called Meridian, which is out now. And Evan's been doing a couple of rare solo performances around the release of the album and is doing one for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. Music from Meridian, live from Evan Caminiti. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is an immersive live music experience from Evan Caminiti, performing here in the Soundcheck studio and performing music drawn from his new album called Meridian. We heard him at a bank of small modular synthesizers, synthesizer modules, I guess I should say, which are then fed through a mixer, and that's what we're hearing, Evan, is basically the result of it's a two-handed operation. There's a lot of motion involved in this music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, and with the mixer, I have an effects synth kind of influenced by a dub approach of processing sound.
Hmm.
And so I think that's kind of where that comes from, is like a dub engineer sitting at a mixing board, live mixing various echoes and reverbs
right,
on the
right.
band.
So, you know, we heard a little bit of Excelsior, a little bit of Arc. Was there some of Steam about halfway through that?
Yeah, there was, actually.
Yeah, which, you know, kind of sounds like what the title promises. You could say that this music is devotional and atmospheric, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say it's dark and spooky, as everyone else seems to say. But either way, it kind of gets to Brian Eno's early description of ambient music, an atmosphere, a tint. Those were his words.
Mm-hmm.
I use the word immersive. It is, for an audience, this is something that kind of colors the air around you. That seems to be the intent.
Definitely. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of a way to step away from, I think, your normal mind frame and the hustle and bustle and maybe slow your breathing a bit.
So you mentioned before coming out of the world of metal, and you're not actually the only musician to come out of that world and into this more ambient. There seems to be a surprisingly porous boundary between especially the black end of metal.
Yeah.
And the kind of darker end of ambient music. What's the connection there?
I mean, yeah, I think you're definitely right about that. I remember growing up with, like, the metal dudes that I went to high school with, and they would talk about how, like, oh, black metal's all about atmosphere, you know, but, like, death metal's all about technicality. And so I was always kind of drawn to the atmospheric end of things, and rather than, like, you know, sitting around and executing, like, really hard riffs. It always seemed to me like there's something more deeper just kind of within that, the mystery and the way that that kind of music allowed your imagination to unfold. And I think there's a lot of, like, imagery associated with it. Like, if, you know, you feel like you're running through a forest, maybe listening to black metal or something like that, you know, like, so that was always really appealing.
Yeah. And with this music too, it you know, there are no vocals, obviously. There aren't really kind of conventional melodies that tell you this is the song. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of room for the listener. The listener kind of has to get in there and make something of it, it seems.
Definitely.
All right, so the album's out. It's called Meridian. And will you be doing much of this? Your record label, Thrill Jockey, says your solo performances are kind of rare.
Yeah, I mean, I like to get out there and make it happen when it can. So for now, I just have some European tour plans, but hoping to do a couple mm-hmm. dates here and there stateside.
Well, Evan, it's been great having you here with us in the Soundcheck studio today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.